This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Good morning and welcome to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University, which has cleared out because of the Thanksgiving holiday. The doc is away. This is Jim Russ sitting in for him. We will have the mailbag for you, Profiles in IT, your chance to win some free food, and
we're going
to
discuss, are you a geek? Or are you a nerd?
Ooh, there's a distinction there.
We're going to get into that because it's very, you know, I had this conversation with my wife. She feels as though she rescued me from geekdom back many years ago.
She's
pulled me into the mainstream. So she feels as though she has really done a major service to mankind.
Pulled you out of geekdom. Is there nerd in you, or are you free of nerd?
Well, we'll get into that.
Okay.
I mean, that's a very sophisticated kind of conversation because geek or nerd, and, you know, we'll get into that. And we'll have a small test.
Can you be both?
It is possible to be both, yes.
A geek and a nerd.
Yes, it is possible
to be a nerd.
Speaking
of that, where's Naveed?
I don't know. I don't know what he's... I think he's doing research on geek versus nerd. He's trying to figure out who he is so that he can come in here with full confidence.
I think he's busting into the vending machines just outside the faculty lounge here.
Have you seen the, by the way, vending machines? There's a lot of stuff on the internet on hacking vending machines. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, no.
It turns out a lot of the vending machines, if you push a certain button sequence, you actually open up a menu.
I think we need to take a trip to the third floor and do a little science experiment of our own.
Yes, but right now it's
time for... There's a letter in your mailbox.
That's right. We've got email. Dear Dr. Schertz, I want to get into IT, and I don't know where to begin. What should I learn? How should I get a job? Do I need a degree?
Well, you're just the guy for that.
John. Well, I tell you, John, it is an interesting field to get in information technology. I love the field, and so many people say, you know, how can you get a job in IT? Because when you apply, they say, well, I'm sorry, we can't hire you till you have experience.
Ooh.
And, of course, you feel, how can I get experience without a job? It's the catch-22. Is it the chicken or the egg? What are you going to do first? Well, I'll tell you, John, that we have all of our students. We've got a lot of students that learning information systems, information technology at Stratford, both at the graduate and undergraduate level. And basically, we give them all the same advice, and they're very successful at getting into the information technology area. The key is when they say, do you have experience, they don't really mean paid experience. They mean,
Have
you done something other than just open up a book and memorize a bunch of facts? Have you really done something? And so we have all of our students work on projects. And for instance, if you're interested in databases...
Here's our own special project, Naveed Nasser, now in
go.
The studio.
And later...
What was the bus late?
Later... Okay, Naveed is trying to figure out whether he's a geek or a nerd because he doesn't want to enter the studio until he's got his identity fully established.
There you go.
Now, so the thing is, you've got to actually do something. And now, if you're interested in databases, you could download a free copy of MySQL, which is a structured query language database. And it's... And you could actually create an SQL database. You could,
it could actually be both.
What's that?
Both, a geek and a nerd.
Yes.
So you were just talking about that.
Yeah.
If you'd actually been here, you'd have heard that.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, right. I could go geek or nerd.
Uh-huh.
So you could download the MySQL database, you could set up a database, and MySQL is you learn the commands, the structured query language commands, you actually are learning the command set that allows you to talk to, say, an Oracle SQL database or Microsoft SQL database, so you're learning very general language. You could take and try to hook this SQL database up to a web page using a scripting language like PHP or any of the other scripting to make a database-driven website. That would be something that you could do. Or you could download a Linux operating system. You could install Linux. You could learn Linux. You could download the Beowulf version of Linux, and you could create a Linux cluster.
Does that version involve Angelina Jolie at all?
No, it does. No. But the nice thing about Linux, it runs on basically old machines that you probably can't run Windows, because Windows is such a resource hog.
he said under his breath. Yeah.
So you could take some of those old doorstops and you could network them together, download Beowulf Linux, and you could make in your basement a cluster computer just using old throwaway computers. That's something to talk about. So you sort of work on a project that is interesting to you. You could create a firewall. You could work on setting up a security system within a network. And so you actually then, when you go out on the job, you don't talk about the fact you have no experience. You talk about specific projects that you've worked on. Now, the second thing that you want to do when you want to get into IT, you want to behave like you're already an IT professional. You don't want to behave like an unemployed guy looking for a job. So now you're working on these projects.
Just go to the page Geek versus Nerd, right?
Yeah, no. So suppose that you're working on this MySQL database or some kind of database. Well, you know, there are users groups out there for SQL. There are just dozens of users groups. So you pick the software, the package you're interested in, join the user group, and you start showing up to the meetings. You participate in the meetings. Guess what? You're dealing with people that got jobs in that area, and you get help to working on your project. And so these guys help you with your project, and they get to see you in action. Now, what you don't want to do is ask for a job. Nobody will talk to you. But over time, these guys are going to see you operating at the user group, and an opportunity comes up in their business. They kind of like you. You may find out that you get a nice job opportunity. The other thing you want to do is read what I call the industry rags. This is all the sort of the insider scoop. These are all free publications. When you sign up for them, you just have to pretend that you're already working. So they'll say, "Well, where do you work?" Well, yeah, I'm IT manager for work from home. For Homeland Incorporated or something. And then
Mandalay Industries.
So you can get all of these industry rags and you can get them at home, and then you can see what's going on, and it gives you some and then you can just talk like an IT professional, and you'll find that if you use this general approach, you'll be successful at landing a job, and they're not going to say, "Well, you don't have any experience." This, by the way, is the same technique that Dick Bowles recommends in a book called "What Color Is Your Parachute," which is one of my favorite books. So,
what was that name again?
What Color Is Your Parachute?
Oh. It's going to be a long one.
It is going to be a long one. Naveed,
you just earned yourself detention, buddy.
Okay, sorry.
Ever since I asked Naveed whether he's a geek or a nerd, he's just been beside himself, I can tell you. He's been running around the studio trying to take a poll.
I think the heat was off on the school bus this morning. His brain is cold or something.
I'm thinking, well, maybe we should. Too bad we can't post a poll to the website. We could say, what does our audience think, whether a geek or a nerd? But I don't know how to do any of that. So.
Well, you know.
It's way too complicated.
Yep, complicated is our middle name here at the Best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by, more of the Best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. We are Schertzless this morning. The doc is away because of the holidays, so we're going to dive right back into the mailbag.
Dr. Schertz, I loved your segment on the internet for the visually impaired. What about speech recognition to help with data entry? Are there any good options for me? Thanks, Emily. Well, Emily, the best speech recognition software out there, by hands down, is Dragon Naturally Speaking version 9. Now, the preferred edition, which allows you to surf the web and do all kinds of things with it, it's basically set up for businesses, is $185. The standard version, which has an interface with all your Microsoft Office components, is $85. Now, I also discovered that speech recognition is included in Windows Vista. It's just built into it. So, and I had read reviews on the Windows Vista speech recognition software. So, last night, because I have Windows Vista on my laptop, and my wife has it on her laptop.
Which is the newer, better machine.
Yeah, she doesn't know anything about Windows speech recognition yet. But I tested my Windows. I actually used Dragon Naturally Speaking earlier, so I can talk quite definitively about it. But I wanted to try the Windows Vista, and I worked on it last night, and I spent about 20 minutes training it. You have to read a paragraphs to train it, and really, it was not that good. I mean, it got good reviews, but I could not get good results with it. I was kind of disappointed.
You're speaking English to it, right?
I was speaking English, yeah. Although I think it will do more than one language, but I was speaking English, and it didn't do that well. The thing that I liked about Dragon Naturally Speaking was that I could let it analyze the subdirectory with all of my documents, because people tend to use the same words over and over again. So it analyzed hundreds of documents that I had written, and after it had analyzed those documents, it became darn accurate. I was just amazed how good the Dragon Naturally Speaking was. I really loved that. I'll go back and try to play with Vista some more. I was doing that this morning around 3 o'clock. That's why I was kind of late getting in everything.
3 a.m.?
Yeah, I was running a little bit late, late.
Or early.
Early. No, I'm a little late. Usually running a little bit late in terms of preparing Tech Talk. But So I worked from 3 to 3:30 on that this morning, and really could not get it working well. It could have been the time of the evening that was doing it, so I'll give it another shot. I could not find anywhere where I could get Windows Vista to analyze my documents, and that document analysis is what made it so much better. So if you want to do speech recognition, this Dragon Naturally Speaking 9, I believe, is fantastic. Now it's time for
Profiles in IT.
And today we're going to be talking about a man that you all know and love, Philip R. Zimmerman.
We may not know who he is, but we love him.
That's right.
We'll know who he is here within the next 5 minutes,
okay,
that's for sure.
Okay, well, yeah, we're doing the show prep right now, folks. Yeah. Oh, would you pull that up on Google for me?
Naveed, that's your job.
That's right.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, Philip R. Zimmerman is creator of Pretty Good Privacy.
You know, I think I'd change the name. I don't want just Pretty Good Privacy. I want Really Good.
Yeah, well, it turns out it is really
awesome
good.
Privacy.
This is the most widely used email encryption software in the world. He's also known for his work on voice over IP encryption protocols. Let me tell you where the name, I'll skip to the bottom. Here's where the name came from.
Mm-hmm.
The first version of Pretty Good Privacy was actually given the humorous name of Bass-O-Matic, which named after a skit on Saturday
yes,
Night Live.
One of the best skits ever.
Yeah. But then,
that's good bass.
But then he changed it to Pretty Good Privacy, and it was named after a Lake Wobegon fictional grocery store named
yes.
Ralph's
Pretty Good Grocery. Yes. Yeah.
So that's where the name came from. Well, the interesting thing is Philip R. Zimmerman, also known as Phil, was born in Camden, New Jersey, February 12th, 1954. His father was a concrete mixer truck driver. That's a very significant fact. I don't know.
Well, thanks for sharing. He is from New Jersey, and there's probably more than a few concrete mixer truck drivers
in
Jersey.
He received a B.S. degree in computer science from Florida Atlantic
University. I don't think he's the only one in this room that has a B.S. degree.
That's right. No, yeah, that's right. Well, I started out with the B.S., then I got a Ph.D. for pilot high and deep.
Where's the rim shot?
Yeah, we definitely need a rim shot. I'll have that ready for next
Thank
next
you.
Yeah.
Now, he was one of the first people to make asymmetric or public key encryption software readily available to the general public. Now, this is what this encryption software is. This was actually a fairly strong encryption method. And after a report by RSA Data Security Incorporated, where in a licensing dispute with regard to the RSA algorithm, regarding PHP, the Customs Service started a criminal investigation of Zimmerman for allegedly violating the Arms Export Control Act because they viewed encryption as actually armament. Because if the enemy can encrypt their signals, and it turns out it's so good, the CIA couldn't crack it.
That's better than pretty good.
So it was very strong, and so they actually...
Good.
At that time, the boundary between so-called low-strength encryption and high-strength encryption placed PGP well on the too-strong-to-export side. Now, this investigation lasted 3 years, but was finally dropped without filing charges, so Phil escaped a close one.
Our guy, Phil.
After he was found innocent or not charged, he founded a company, PGP Incorporated, which released an updated version of PGP and some additional related products. That company was acquired by Network Associates in December of 1997, and he stayed on as a senior fellow. Finally, NIA decided to drop the product line, and PGP was sold to a new company called PGP Corporation. It's really an original name. Zimmerman now serves as special advisor. Zimmerman is also a fellow at the Stanford Law School Center for Internet and Society. Now, the best source of PGP you can get, PGP is now open source software. You can go to pgpi.org, www.pgpi.org, and you can download your own copy of PGP.
Very interesting. And, one of the questions we always ask about our profiles and IT people is,
did they make any money?
I think he made a little bit of money because he sold his company. Yeah.
Good. But the other thing is, in the late 90s, there were a bunch of other programming codes out there, but PGP is the only one really that survived to this day.
It survived. Now you use it if you want to send email and you don't want anybody to know what email you're sending. It's an encryption client that you can install on your computer, so you could actually send emails from work in fully encrypted format,
right.
And nobody could read it.
Broadcasting from the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University, this is the Best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by, the pop quiz is coming up.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. Nope, it's not Monty Hall. It's not Ed McMahon. It's not Dr. Richard Church. It's this guy right here.
That's right, Giblet Breath. I am that guy right here. I am Jim Russ, filling in for Dr. Richard Church on the Best of Tech Talk this Saturday morning. A few moments ago, if you were paying attention, and I hope you were, you heard us talk about Philip R. Zimmerman in Profiles in IT. He is the father of PGP, Pretty Good Privacy. Well, that wasn't always the name. Tell us the original name of PGP, Pretty Good Privacy, and you will win tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier at Stratford University, fine dining on the campus of Stratford University in Falls Church, or our campus in Woodbridge. You can get the tickets there as well. Know the answer to the question? Call us right now. The number is 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. One more time, the number to call is 877-936-9333. And now we get back to geeks and nerds.
We were talking about geek or nerd. I got into this because we were sitting around one night at dinner, and my wife was saying, you know, before she met me, I was pretty much antisocial, and she has, and she somehow saved me from an otherwise miserable fate.
A boring, lonely life in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, she was dating football players, tennis players, and I was sitting there, you know,
yes,
twiddling my pencil.
Okay.
It's a tough room.
It's a tough room, and I'm trying to raise and elevate this thing.
Oh, are you really?
I'm trying to elevate this room.
You could have fooled me.
So, the question was,
Mr. Pencil.
It came up, are you a geek or a nerd? Now, there are many people who are confused out there with the modern terminology and are really unaware of the difference between geeks and nerds. Even more sadly, there are many geeks and nerds who do not know the true nature of their own stereotype. And that is truly a problem. So Tech Talk has done some very significant research here to try to shed some light on this.
Everybody needs to get in touch with their roots and recognize their lineage and their,
That's right. Now, let's look at the Wikipedia definitions first.
That's the first place you would go.
That's the first place you want to go. Now, let's see. Now, according to Wikipedia, a geek, the word geek is a slang term noting an individual as a peculiar or otherwise dislikable person.
So your wife was basically telling you that you were peculiar.
Especially one who is perceived to be overly intellectual. Now, here is
I wouldn't call you overly intellectual.
No, I mean, this is a kind of a mixed bag.
You hang out with us after all.
I know. Now, here's what Wikipedia said about nerds. Nerd is a term often bearing a derogatory connotation or stereotype that refers to a person who passionately pursues intellectual activities or other esoteric knowledge rather than engaging in more social activities, such as organized sports. Therefore, a nerd is often excluded from physical activity and considered to be a loner by peers. Now, let's go to the jargon file definitions, because we really want to pin this down, because there's a little bit of a difference here of all these. A geek, according to jargon file, a person who has chosen a concentration rather than conformities, rather a concentration of studies rather than conformity, one who pursues skill, especially technical skills and imagination, not mainstream social acceptance.
There's a geek right there.
Geeks usually accept new things and are excited by novelty. Most geeks are adept with computers and treat hacker as a term of respect. But not all are hackers themselves, and some who are in fact hackers normally call themselves geeks anyway. Now, Jargon File defines nerds as a pejorative applied to anyone with an above-average IQ and a few, but very few gifts at small talk or ordinary social rituals.
Kind of like that.
Okay, now let's look at the origin of the words, because there is no limit to the kind of research that we do here on Tech Talk. Geek.
Did you get government funding for this, by the way?
This was a 100K contract. Geek was first attested in 1876 with the meaning of fool. And it later became known to mean a performer engaging in bizarre acts like biting off the heads of live chickens, bats, or snakes.
Like a circus geek.
A circus geek or a geek show. Yeah, that's it. Now, here's the word nerd. The word nerd appears to have first appeared in a Dr. Seuss book, If I Ran the Zoo. And it was in this line, and then, just to show them, I'll sail to Katru and bring back an ikutch, a preep, a prue, a nurkle, a nerd, and a seersucker, too. And so that was the first appearance of the... Now, there are also related words that are very important for us to know. For instance, geekonics.
Geekonics.
Geekonics. Now, this is very important. Now, this is a...
I'm hooked on geekonics.
Yeah, this is a computer English. It's acronyms and buzzwords spoken by computer people who speak a whole lot of geekonics. The term comes from ebonics, which is a combination of English and black slang. So this is like geek and phonics, geekonics. Also, it's commonly called geek speak and nerd speak. So now, are you a geek or a nerd?
I think I'm a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll as well.
You're kind of a rock and roll. I think that in the end, I'm more geek than nerd. But if you look at it, I think geek is a subset of nerd.
It is.
Yes.
The two are so closely related. I mean, it's hard.
I may be more nerd. What do you think?
See, I'm thinking
it's hard for me to judge other people that way, but I'd say I'm definitely like you, a little bit of both.
I think a geek is a subset of nerd. Not all nerds are geeks, but all geeks are nerds.
Are nerds. That makes sense.
So there you go, and that is the kind of insightful talk that you get here on Tech Talk.
That was nerderific, let me tell you. Now, let's get back to business here. I think we have some contestants or some victims on the line here. Let us go, first of all, to Rick in Vienna, Virginia. Rick, good morning. Welcome to Tech Talk. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Do you have an answer for us to our Tech Talk question?
I do believe I do. His father was a concrete mixer driver.
We do have a winner.
And that is a perfect answer.
That is a perfect answer. Rick, you have won. Tell us what the prize
is. You get two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. Just stay on the line. Give our producer your name and address, and we'll send you those tickets out next week. Now, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about passwords. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, one of the big problems with passwords, I'm just going to do one segment here on password management. You know, one of the problems is, I mean, I've got about 20 passwords.
I've written mine down on an old ratty looking envelope, and I keep it in my briefcase.
And you tape it to your monitor?
No, I don't tape it to my monitor.
Well, that is good. Okay, that would have been an F.
Yeah.
If you taped it to your monitor, that would have been an F. Yeah, you don't want to tape it to your monitor.
I basically have like one password and username that I just alter slightly for each different
time. See, I can never remember when I do that.
I just alter one little thing in it.
That's also a weak way to go. That's probably a D.
Yeah, that's a D. Way to go, Naveen.
That's probably a D.
We both have flunked our midterm.
That's right. Yeah. Now the fact is, I probably maintain about 15 or 20 different passwords.
Because you're smart.
You know, it's because, you know the definition. The definition of nerd that I always had, if you can remember 20 passwords but can't remember your wife's birthday, you're a nerd.
And you're in big trouble, too, is what you are.
That's right. I know she's not listening. I know she's not listening, so, you know, I'm okay. You know, she's not listening.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm really not sure.
You know, this goes on a podcast, too.
I'm really not too sure about that.
Ruh-roh, Christmas, outside.
So one of the problems is you got these 20 passwords. They do have what they call password managers, where you can put all your passwords passwords into an encrypted file, and then you just need one password to look them up. And one of the best is RoboForm. You can download this at RoboForm.com, and it actually will pull the password out, and it will fill out a form for you directly without any problem at all. So RoboForm.com, it's free to download. If you want the professional version, it's only $29. A second one that's really quite good is Password Safe. You can download that from passwordsafe.sourceforge.net. That's an open source software, and it's a what they call a password vault. So those of you that want to only remember one password, this may be the way to go.
This is the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by. More tech news coming right up.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best of Tech Talk from the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. Over 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. More now of our discussion of geeks and nerds.
You know, my wife is so happy that she saved me from geekdom.
Yeah.
So now most of the time I appear to be a normal person.
A well-adjusted member of society.
I know, because she has spent years trying to give me the social graces necessary to, you know, to survive at parties. And
taught you how to use cutlery, too, right?
She's done quite well. Yes, she does. You know, I do. I do how to use knives quite well. And so, but I still am attracted to geeky websites. And I'll tell you, there is a webcomic site for geeks that I just love. And it's the website is xkcd.com. xkcd.com. Now,
and what can we find there?
It's a webcomic which has stick figures of love-struck people. It revels in the human side of geekdom. So it's like a mixture of mathematics and, you know, social ineptness. It's really fun cartoons. Like I have this one cartoon here where the guy's calling his doctor. She says, "Hi, Dr. Elizabeth. I accidentally took a Fourier transform of my cat." And you see this squiggly line, which is, you know, looks like a Fourier transform, and it's going meow. So the only, only people that know Fourier transforms, I think that was funny.
Uh-huh.
But
do you hear me laughing?
But I think that, so there it is, and some of these things are really funny. Some of these ones that get into social graces, I can't read those cartoons on the air, but they are just hilarious. You can go to xkcd.com. Now, where this came from, this was actually developed by a guy by the name of Randall Monroe. Now, XKCD is really, it's not an acronym. It's just a name that he made up, and it's a way now to show people who are unpracticed in talking about their emotions. It's a way to sort of articulate common emotions that geeks always feel. Now, the reason I like this, I think, is Monroe was a CNU graduate student in physics before he started XKCD. Now, he also worked on robots at NASA Langley Research Center in Virginia. Now, as of June 2007, he lives in Massachusetts. Now, what he says was, I went to the website. He said that how this got started, he was going through his old math and sketching graph paper notebooks, and he didn't want to lose some of his work, so he started scanning the pages, and he was going to post them to the web. I mean, that's kind of a geeky thing to do, to scan your notes
sure.
and post them to the web.
Uh-huh.
And he noticed that he had a few funny cartoons, so he took the funniest pages out, and he started just posting them to a web server that he was testing out there at work. And that web server got linked to by Boing Boing, which is one of these link sites. And all of a sudden, it started getting a lot of traffic, and people loved his cartoons. So then he started drawing more cartoons, and then he started selling T-shirts.
He didn't waste a whole lot of money on art lessons, did he?
No, and then he quit his job, and now he's full-time looking at XKCD. So if you want to, you know, if you're kind of a geeky guy or geeky gal, you're going to love the cartoons on XKCD.com. That's my website of the week.
You know, all I can get out of this is I just don't want anyone to take my Fourier transformer because it looks like it's something that I need.
It's really, yeah. You don't want your Fourier transformed.
No, you don't.
Doing with my life. This guy's drawing stick figures, and he's probably making, how much would you say he's making off this website?
He's making a lot of money on advertising.
Good Lord.
Now, do you remember the Control-Alt-Delete on the PC?
Right.
Have you ever used Control-Alt-Delete?
Of course, all the times.
Now, whenever the PC locks up, you know, especially Windows machine locks up, if you want to just reboot the machine without turning it off, you can give your machine what they call the three-finger salute, Control-Alt-Delete.
Right.
Well, little did you know that David J. Bradley, who was born in 1949 and was one of the first of the 12 engineers who worked on the original PC, and he also wrote the ROM BIOS code for the PC, developed the key set, Control-Alt-Delete. Now, he basically selected that because those keys were so spread apart that it would be almost impossible to hit those three keys simultaneously by mistake.
It sure would be, yeah.
You'd have to do
it. You need two hands to do it.
And so I was watching this, you know, I'm doing preparation for Tech Talk. I just really look and scour the internet.
I know you do.
For every piece of...
It's quite obvious.
Every piece of technology trivia that I can find.
I had no doubt.
And I found there was an anniversary show on the 20th anniversary of the PC where the 12 original engineers were sitting on a stage talking about the good old days when they developed the PC. And David Bradley, the inventor of Control-Alt-Delete, was talking about why he created it during this panel discussion. And he was saying that he did it so you could do what they call a warm boot. Because it turned out if you turn off a machine, you have to leave it off for a certain time because you can't, you've got to let the capacitors drain off the power supply. If you turn it right back on, it'll damage the power supply. So we wanted a warm boot. But Mr. Bradley, in the middle of the show, said, you know, he said, I can't really take all the credit for Control-Alt-Delete. It was really kind of a team effort. He said, I may have invented Control-Alt-Delete, but it was Bill Gates who made it famous.
Ah.
There it is, right there on YouTube.
Yeah.
70,000 views.
Yeah. But it was
amazing.
Bill Gates who made it famous. And the funny thing, of course, he made it famous because the Windows was always locking up and you got to hit Control-Alt. And you watch this panel discussion, it brought the house down when he said that. And the look on Bill Gates' face of absolute deadpan disgust was just so humorous. I just loved watching that. So, and then Bill Bradley looked over at Gates and saw that he was totally pissed. Then he added this little poster. He says, oh, I was talking about the NT logon screen. Because, of course, you go to the logon screen, you got to hit Control-Alt-Delete to bring up the window.
Right.
That's, of course, everybody knows he was talking about having to reboot because the machine locked up. So that was kind of fun. Now, geek is chic.
He's chic.
Now, you know, it used to be like geek was a derogatory word, but after all these...
Oh, you've proven us today that it is not. That it's not a bad word.
It's not a bad word. And, you know, and geeks have come a long way since the days of biting off the heads of chickens.
Okay.
Yeah, they've come a long way.
Great.
Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite sites there is thinkgeek.com. If you want to buy any geeky gifts, And there's time to do this. Go to thinkgeek.com. And let me just go here. And they've got some of the most interesting T-shirts here. Now, they've got this one T-shirt. They call it the Wi-Fi detector. Have you ever seen if they have a Wi-Fi, somebody got a little antenna with these sort of concentric rings going out that symbolize that there's Wi-Fi
available, yes.
So this particular T-shirt has this symbol on there, and when there's a Wi-Fi signal in the area, the antenna lights up and sort of goes in and out, so your T-shirt starts lighting up, and you become an actual Wi-Fi detector right on your T-shirt.
You need one of those when you're out, running around with your tennis ball can looking for Wi-Fi.
Now that is really a geeky shirt. They also have one they call Have you ever seen the acoustic equalizer? It got these little bars that sort of stand up
right.
and go up and
sure.
down. So they have one that they call the T-equalizer shirt, and it's like these colored bars are going up and down like you're listening to music, and your shirt is being lit up. I mean, now that I guess you'd wear that to a dance or something. I don't know.
You could.
But
I wouldn't wear it in the shower. It sounds like it might short out.
No. Well, these shirts, I think they've got like a AA battery under the armpit or something. I don't know. I don't know how they. Now, see the Think Geek. Now, but they've also got you know shirts for women.
Actually powered by human sweat.
It might be.
Yeah.
They've got a whole series of shirts for women where they say geek is sexy.
Ah.
And they've got all kinds of apparel that I'm really not going to be discussing today.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Now they also have remote control airplanes. They've got little helicopters, little blimps. You can fly them around the house. They've got kinds of USB toys. So this is really a very nice geeky place to buy things. So thinkgeek.com, that's a great place for Christmas. Now another store I like to go to being the geek that I am. But I'm not a geek around my wife. I'm only whenever I'm with her, I'm like mainstream.
You're a closet geek.
Yeah. I'm mainstream. Yeah, but I'm a geek when
only
she's
on the weekends.
Yeah,
is he a geek.
That's right. Another place I like is the robot store. Now they've got robot kits and parts. You can build your own robots, and that I'm kind of into that because you can build a little mechanical device, you can program it, you can download your program and do all kinds of things with it. One of my favorite robot kits. I love this kit, is the Lego Mindstorms Next. Now, Lego Mindstorms, Lego teamed up with the MIT Media Center, which was making robots, and they basically came up with really nice technology so that you can go to mindstorms.lego.com if you want to look at it. You can buy Lego Mindstorms NXT for $249. You build these things with Legos. But it has what they call an intelligent brick, which is a 32-bit microprocessor. It's got memory. It's got a flash BIOS, so you can download the BIOS right from your machine. It comes with three interactive servos, sound sensors.
We can get into all kinds of trouble on this website.
Ultrasonic visual sensors, touch sensors, light sensors. It's got 519 special mechanical elements for putting together all kinds of robots. It's got all kinds of ports to it, a display matrix, a USB 2.0 connection when you want to download the program. It's also got Bluetooth support, so you can wirelessly download your program.
Good Lord, look at this. Lego's come a long way.
Yeah,
it
sure has.
Is a fun system. I'll tell you what this is nice. If you got kids see, one of the problems, like what I feel like with computer games, kids get into playing the games and they really don't learn any technology. They don't learn anything.
Right.
And
just further melt their little brains.
The nice thing about this Lego Mindstorms is that they've got some really simple robots that you can build, and they have programs. They have a CD with some of the programs already written for it. They have a special programming language for it, and so your kids can start learning how to modify the programs and change the programs, and they start getting into a little bit of technology here while they're playing with this robot. This is a great, great educational tool if you're worried that your kids are just spending too much time on Halo 3.
This is your Classroom of the Airwaves, Tech Talk Radio. You're listening via 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We're brought to you by the folks at Stratford University. You can learn more about Stratford by going to the website stratford.edu. You can learn everything you ever wanted to know about Tech Talk by going to our website, techtalkonline.com, soon to be redesigned, as a matter of fact. There, you can ask the doc a question. That's the best way to send Dr. Schertz a technology question that he will answer right here on the show. You can also look at past show outlines to find topics you may be interested in, and you can download and listen to all of our shows at techtalkonline.com. Stand by, more of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. This is the best of Tech Talk. The doc is away for the holidays, but I don't think we can ever talk too much about this.
Now, let's get to turkey. Okay, we've talked enough technology. Let's talk turkey. Now, I brought in my food science book, the On Food and Cooking: The Art and Science and Lore of the Kitchen, Harold McGee. I love this book. This is the old edition, the old hardback edition of the book. He came out with a newer edition, but this one is really my trusty Bible. So whenever I get enough playing around the computer, I go in there and play in the kitchen. That's why we've got a culinary school at Stratford as well as a... As well as a computer school. And let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about cooking your turkey. Now, there's a problem when you cook a turkey, and that's that the dark meat has to cook longer than the white meat, mm-hmm. because the dark meat is not... tender until it breaks down, because it has so many tendons and other and cartilage in it that actually has to break down in order for the dark meat to be tender, and that means it has to cook longer.
And you don't want to overcook the white meat in the process, which has a tendency to kind of dry.
That's right. So if you cook it so that the dark meat is perfect, the white meat is too dry, and if the white meat is perfect, the dark meat's underdone. This is the problem. So Harold McGee applied science to this problem, and what he does, he takes the turkey out of the refrigerator. It's already thawed a couple of hours before he puts it into the oven, and he puts a bag of ice on the breast, on the top of the turkey. It's breast side up, and he lets it sit for a couple of hours. So the bottom of the turkey heats up to room temperature. The top of the turkey stays at around 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
And so when he
puts it into the oven, there's a temperature differential across the turkey, and that temperature differential means that it takes longer for the white meat to warm up and start cooking, and that time difference allows you to equalize the cooking time for the two sides of the turkey.
If you're in a hurry, could you maybe just hit the breast with a can of Freon or something like that?
Well, possibly you could try that. Although, the environmentalists are going to get you.
I was going to say, Freon,
environmentally friendly Freon.
So,
I would only use that.
You mean you spray Freon around your,
I use it as an air freshener.
They're going to be getting you. Okay, now let's turn to the nemesis. The nemesis of Thanksgiving. Lumpy gravy.
I can think of a few other nemesi. Yes.
There's nothing worse.
Nemesis.
I don't know. Yeah. We need to go to dictionary.com to find that out.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
Yeah, some off the air.
There's nothing worse than you have the perfect meal, the perfect turkey, everything's perfect, and then you have lumpy gravy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real issue. It is a real problem.
It can cause a fight.
Well, I studied the science of gravy. And
you noted graviologist.
I've got a few markers in my book here. Now, as you know, you thicken gravy with flour,
right.
Typically or cornstarch,
but not an ice pack.
No, that's for the breast. Not an ice patch. And the thickening flour, of course, is composed, when you grind flour, it's composed of two parts. It's composed of the protein, which is sort of the wheat germ where all the genetic material is, talking about genes. And then you've got surrounding the genetic material or the wheat germ, you've got this, food, the carbohydrate material or the starch. And so when the seed starts growing, the starch basically provides the first nutrients for the new seed. It turns out that the thing which is critical to thickening gravy is the carbohydrate part of the flour. If you grind flour and remove the protein or the wheat germ, you're left with just flour, starch, as opposed to pure flour.
Right.
But frequently they'll do that with corn, where they'll remove the protein or the wheat or the genetic material of the corn, and you're left with corn starch. It's the corn starch or the wheat starch that's actually used for thickening. And it turns out, you see, that when you take and put the starch in water and you heat it up, that when you reach a critical temperature, the starch begins to react with the water, and it expands very quickly. And the point where it expands depends on what you have. Like if you're using wheat flour, the expansion occurs between 140 and 148 degrees Fahrenheit. If you use corn starch, it's between 144 and 158 degrees Fahrenheit. So as soon as you throw that in, it expands and pops up. Now, it expands and immediately thickens, so it looks thin until you reach that transition
point. And then all of a sudden, bang.
And it gets, so, you know, people start adding more and more flour, and then it finally gets too thick.
And it's like cement.
Yeah, it's like cement.
Turkey-flavored cement.
If your water is above that transition point and you throw in more flour, you get lumps. Because the flour goes in there, and you get this gelatinous material on the outside of the on the outside of that flour blob, and that's a big lump. And so you don't want to throw in flour into the hot water.
The key word is patience.
Now you might say, well, suppose I get it and it's already hot, and now I need to add a little bit more flour. How can I do that? You can add that using something called a roux.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you take flour and butter and mix it together as a paste. And now the flour has been separated by the butter, and you put in maybe 50-50, and then you can throw in a pinch of roux, and since the flour is already separated, it will not lump. So you use roux, a mixture of butter and flour, if you are above the transition point, and you will not get lumpy gravy.
And roux actually comes in different types depending on how long you cook it. There's a blonde roux, there's darker roux, and you use roux in all kinds of things. But that's another show
for another day. And that's R-O-U-X,
that's
roux.
Right, a French word. Of course, the French were the folks who really came up with all of the sauces. They were the sauce meisters.
So if you want to know more of it, you can go to On Food and Cooking, The Art, The Science and Lore of the Kitchen by Harold McGee. It's my favorite food science book. We use this in the culinary arts department, the culinary school at Stratford University.
We're going to move out of the kitchen when Tech Talk continues in just a moment.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
In the past 15 years, Fairfax County has added 100,000 jobs, according to the Washington Post, many in information technology and many due to government outsourcing. Are you looking to change careers or advance to the next level into information systems management? Stratford University may be the perfect fit for you. Stratford School of Graduate Studies offers Masters of Science degrees in software engineering, information systems, and enterprise business management. Stratford School of Computer Information Systems offers degrees in digital design, network management, and security and information technology. The competencies and industry certifications embraced by its demanding curriculum are employer-centric, while the teaching methods and delivery style are student-centric. Stratford University offers small classes, evening and weekend courses designed for busy professionals. In addition, many courses are available online. Call 1-800-444-0804 or go to stratford.edu for more information.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. You're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford. Actually, we're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology. And, you know, I'm just sick and tired of people that are always on their cell phone. You ever had that problem? You'll be there trying to do some studying or do some reading, and there's some guy right beside you talking on the cell phone, just on and on and on and on. Or you're in the elevator, somebody's talking on the cell phone. It can just be quite annoying. Or probably the worst would be at a restaurant. You're sitting at a restaurant trying to have a nice leisurely meal, and the guy beside you is talking some stock trade deal on the cell phone.
You don't want to hear about it.
No. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you could just have a battery-powered cell phone jammer, and you just open up your briefcase, and you just turn this little jammer on, and anybody within 30 feet of you, their cell phone is jammed, and it shows that their cell phone doesn't know it's jammed. It just says they don't have a signal. Wouldn't that be so convenient? Well, there are...
But there are some problems with this.
Yeah, it's against the law. Let's get to that. Let's do the fun start first. We'll get to the legal part later on.
Yeah, who really cares about the legal part?
Yeah, who really cares about it? And so the thing is, you can go to phonejammer.com, and they've got a portable cell phone jammer, battery-operated. They got the cheap version for $149, which is a small radius, or the more expensive portable one for $219. You can, you know, if you're sitting on Metro, sick and tired of people on their cell phones while you're sitting on Metro, just turn on your cell phone jammer. They've got a low or high power cell phone jammer, which is fixed location. It means you've got to plug it in. And you can either have low power or high power, depending on the range of jamming that you want. And that's either $195 for the low, $195 for the cheaper version, or $295 for the more expensive version. If you'd like to have an adjustable cell phone jammer, adjustable volume, so you could make an adjustable range, radius within which you would jam cell phones, that runs between $395 to $415. Or if you want to just jam all the cell phones in, say, at the Kennedy Center, you need an ultra high power cell phone jammer, and they've got two versions there, either for one for $14.49 or $39.95.
Thanks for giving people an idea.
So here's the deal: you can buy these cell phone jammers, and you know people have installed them in their conference rooms, for instance. I mean, people, you know, businesses do use them. Now here's the problem: the jammers are illegal in the U.S. Now this is because the cell phone carriers are legally protected by the government because the government has sold certain bandwidth to these cell phone companies. So even though you're sitting in your conference room with your area, the cell phone companies have been sold the frequencies to that frequency space within your room by the federal government.
That is all we have time for this week. Thank you for joining us here in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. This is your classroom of the airwaves, Tech Talk Radio. You've been listening to us over 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. You can learn everything you ever wanted to know about Tech Talk by going to our website, techtalkonline.com. There you can send the doctor questions that he will answer right here on the radio. You can also hear all of our previous shows and take a look at show outlines as well. You can learn more about Stratford University by going to their website, stratford.edu. Learn about the course programs and all that's offered at Stratford University campuses around the area in Woodbridge, Richmond, and in Falls Church, Virginia, here in the D.C. area. We will see you next week here on Tech Talk on Federal News Radio.
Learn more about Stratford University programs' consumer information by visiting their website at www.stratford.edu/content_pages/view/degree-programs.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers.